Christmas sermons. Believe you me, I have prayed and prayed and prayed about, Lord, just give me a traditional Christmas sermon. Well, you know what he gave me? Guess what's not on a holiday, on a Hallmark Christmas card? And so I'm going to go with that this morning. He gave this to me, so I'm going to be over, and I'm going to do one verse, but I'm going to be all over the Bible. I'm going to be in Luke, the second chapter, 11th verse. If you would, when you get to, just leave it right there a little bit. I'm going to have you stand here in a little bit, but we'll read it here in just shortly. I want to ask you a question. If you want to know the truth about spiritual matters, can I tell you something? Never, ever consult the media. Am I right? If you want to know the truth about God and His Son Jesus, you never consult academia. You just don't do it. That's just not there. If you want to know the truth when it comes to man's eternal soul, you don't go to the CDC to get that. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
If you want to know the truth about these things that I just mentioned, I'll tell you this. You always go to the true source of truth. And that is the inerrant Word of God. That's the only place you could ever go to get that. I'm sorry, it is. The book has stood unchanged for over 2,000 years. It has. And if God allows it to continue another 2,000 years, may I tell you this morning, the truth recorded in these pages will still be the truth. It'll still be the truth. Just the way that I believe that God has put it out there for us. We have been told to follow the science, but can I tell you something? The science changes. The science changes. Yes, it does. God's Word has never changed. We've been told to trust the authorities. But can I tell you something this morning? The authorities always cannot be trusted. God's Word can always be trusted. The Bible can always. And that's why when I titled my sermon this morning, and listen, why I titled it, you know, you'll not find this on a Hallmark card, because you know what? When Jesus came into the world, I don't have to go to the History Channel to figure it out why He come into the world. I don't have to go to Newsweek. It seems like every year they put out something different about the Bible and stuff like that. I don't have to go to CNN, or I don't have to go to Fox. I don't have to go to those sources. I went to the true source. I went to the Bible is where I went to. There are 9 statements in the Bible, in the New Testament alone, that God's Word tells us why Jesus came into the world. 9 verses of it. And I'm going to go over some of them. I'm going to do my best to hurry up. I got a long way to go and I got a short time to get there. So bear with me here this morning. So why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? Why do we do that? So you don't have to, you don't have to doubt. You don't have to wonder why we do it. You don't have to get caught up in some false religion or some false statement about why we celebrate His birth. You can know of a certainty why He came into this world by just studying His Word. Plain and simple, you can do that. It's a fact that He came into this world. Now listen, even the unbelievers today don't doubt that anymore. I remember whenever I was a young Christian, they kept trying to say, well, He was just a myth. He was just this. He was just that. But if you go back into archives, if you go back into antiquity, they'll tell you that Jesus was a real person. Even unbelievers have to say that. They still try to redefine Him. They still try to redefine our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They try to say that He was a good man. They try to say that He was a man, but not the one that we believe He was in the Bible. They try and lump Him in with other religious leaders. We know that they do. But they've quit denying that He actually existed. And I praise God for that. But I don't praise God for what other things they try to put out there. So this morning, I want to preach to you, why did Jesus come into this world? And why you're not going to find it on a Hallmark card whenever you do it. And I want to get it straight from the source. If you would, if you're there, let's stand and turn to Luke, the second chapter. I want to read one verse. That is the 11th verse. Very simple, very, very familiar scripture. In Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is what? Which is Christ the Lord. Let me say that again. It's very simple scripture, but it has a lot of meaning in these verses. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with nothing but praise in my heart for you this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that as I go about, Lord, as I preach your word this morning, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would give me the words that need to be spoken, Lord. I pray, Father, that the minds would be open, Lord. And Father, we will give you the praise and the glory for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Let me first state this before I get into it. The birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With His birth, we may ask, why did it have to be this way? Why did He have to come this way? Well, I mentioned that we're going to dig into God's Word. And the first thing I want you to understand, if you want to find out why He came into this world, you go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and you read the 17th and the 19th verse. You can write these down. You can follow along with them later if you want to. And this is what Jesus said to us. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not nowise pass from the law till all is be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments shall teach men so. He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, this is what he said. Think not that I come to destroy the law. See, Jesus had to correct their thinking. You see what I'm saying? Do you think he has to correct man's thinking today? Absolutely. He said, think not that I come to destroy the law. He didn't do that. So, will you tell you today that the modern Jesus, that some like to preach, came to eliminate the commandments. Some will preach that. And they say, so that individuals could just justify themselves. The modern Jesus, some will preach, will tell you that you are just wonderful just the way you are. My Bible tells me that you are in need of a Savior. You are in need of a Savior. To many folks today, want a gospel that sets them free from the responsibility to serve God. That's the gospel that they want. That's not the gospel that's preached in the Bible. That's not the gospel that Jesus said. That's not what He came because. And I just read you, and you're hearing this morning, the Jesus of the Bible came to make certain that you know that you know the God who said, thou shalt not kill in the Old Testament is the same God today. The same God that said over there, thou shalt not steal, is the same God that said it today. The God that said, thou shalt not bear false witness, is the same God that was back in the Old Testament. The God who said, thou shalt not commit adultery, is the same God today that He was back then. He never changes. He never will change. God who said, the Jesus of the Bible did not come out here come the first Christmas day to make a narrow road broad. Am I right? He didn't do that. The Jesus that was born on that first Christmas day, He came out to make a broad road narrow. And the Scripture says that in Matthew 7:14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. This is the sad part. This is the sad part. Few there be that find it. Few be there that find it. I'm sorry, and I keep preaching this, and I hope you understand this. There's a number of people sitting in churches across this land today that are the few that find it. There are a lot of people sitting in churches today are those that have not found it. He did not come to make a narrow road broad. He came to make a broad road narrow. He said so. Jesus did not come to provide sinners with excuses. He came to show them that they were guilty before a holy God. And the only thing that would take care of that guilt is to do what the Scripture tells you to do. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in you. You're not going to find that on a Hallmark Christmas card. You're not going to find that when you got a picture of Jesus, a baby Jesus at a manger. You're not going to find that saying on a Hallmark Christmas card. No, you're not. Before you can be saved, guess what? You've got to realize that you are lost. If you're sitting here this morning and you know and you think that you're okay and you think that, listen, this is a no-so salvation. It's not a think-so salvation. It is a no-so. Before you can get help, you must realize that you have a need. Jesus came on that first Christmas back then to help you so you could understand that there was a need in your life and that you needed him as your Savior. And that's where the law comes in. That's why Jesus tells us, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to do what? To fulfill it. What else did Jesus come for? That can be found in Matthew 10:34. It says this. Again, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Now this is in red. I come not to send peace, but a sword. This is Jesus come into this world not to bring peace, it says, but he come to bring a sword. First off, notice Matthew 5, I told you this, two words, think not. People aren't thinking right. They weren't thinking right back then, and people aren't thinking right today about a lot of stuff. They have some ideas about Jesus, but Jesus has to correct them. Let me read it again. Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. Now this is the hard one. For I am come to set men at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be those of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross up and followeth after me is not worthy of me. The second reason that Jesus came into this world was so you could believe on him and believe on him only. Now I want you to understand that. He didn't come into this world. I want you to understand for you to have a closer family unit. You know that? You say amen or oh my. He didn't do that. He didn't come into this world so you could get along with all your kinfolk. He didn't come into this world so all men of all faiths and all denominations and all religions and all creeds and all beliefs could link arms and sing kumbaya and go on down through with your life. He didn't do that. He didn't come to this world so you could drink a Coke and build a snowman. Jesus didn't do that. Listen, he was born into this world to put believers on one side and put non-believers on the other side. We are supposed to get as many to believe as possible. But brother said, when he gets right down to it, he said he would separate the sheep from the goats one day, did he not? He was born into the world. If mom and dad believes and a son and daughter don't believe, mom and dad, you have to stand firm on what you believe. I'm not saying you got to kick them to the curb, but brother and sister, you've got to stand firm on what you believe. Jesus didn't come so we all could get along. He came so that all who trust and believe in him would be what? You would be saved. And Jesus, we live in a world that wants a watered-down Jesus. That's what they want. And they want to reinvent Jesus. They want to redefine Jesus. And if someone doesn't quite believe the Scripture means what it says, let's just overlook it and go on. That's not what Jesus said. He said, I come. Listen, he didn't say, he said, let's read what Jesus said again. Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. He came into this world to establish that he and he alone was the only way to salvation. Your wife, your husband, your mom, your dad, your kids, or any other individual you can think of did not save, did not die to save you. I love my wife. My wife didn't die to save me. Amen? Your spouse did not die to save you. If they are against the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got to stand firm. Your kids did not die to save you. Your neighbor did not die to save you. There's one that died on that cross to save you, and that was Jesus Christ. He's the one. That's why he said there's going to be trouble sometimes in families. That's why he says it. Listen, who did Jesus? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. And just to reiterate, in Luke 12:49, listen to what it says here. I am come to send fire on the earth, that what will I if it already be kindled? Do you know what he's saying there? Listen, you know, he's saying, he said, listen, I didn't start this. He said, there's always been turmoil amongst families. There's always, the first murder was done a brother against a brother, right? That was the first murder. And listen, he didn't start this. But you know what Jesus is saying? And I'm going to put it in West Virginia hillbilly words. I didn't start the fire, but I brought gasoline to stir it up a little bit. That's what he did. That's what he's saying. Whenever he says that, you go and you study that out. Now let me read the whole thing to you, then you understand. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and now am I straitened till it be accomplished. And suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. You ain't going to see that on a Hallmark card, are you, Greg? You're not going to see that. But he came into this world. Listen to me. He said, suppose ye that I've come to have peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. Jesus is saying, fighting and turmoil in this world has always been. It's going to be different from here on out, though, he said. Why? Because what's going to happen, what's going to separate you from here on out is whether or not you believe in me or not. That's what's going to separate sometimes. Maybe you've never thought about this, but do you remember Peter and Andrew were brothers? And they were fishers. They did fishing for a living, right? Jesus come to them and said, come and follow me. You know what they did? They laid down their nets, didn't they? Do you know that was their business? Do you know that they were in business with their father, their dad, with their family at the time? Do you realize how much turmoil that cost in that family? That family, because they did what Jesus wanted them to do. Pick up your cross and follow me. Lay down your nets and follow me. It can cause turmoil in a family. Yes, it can. But can I tell you something? Like I said before, that member of that family did not die on a cross for you. Jesus did. Do you think there was division in the family? Jesus didn't come into the world because the world needed more religion. Amen? He didn't come in. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he intended them, after he did that, for them to follow him. Sheep begat sheep. Amen? Let me give you a quick overview of what I'm about to read next. We're in John, the 9th chapter. Jesus had just healed a man who had been blind from birth. We know the story. And the Lord forbid that Jesus healed him. He did it on the Sabbath day. Oh, and the outrage, the outcry. And the Pharisees had a problem with it, even though this man used to sit and beg at the gate. Now he could become a productive person in society. Well, they couldn't handle that no more. Then he did it on a Sabbath day, so they were upset and mad, so they tried to discredit the miracle. First, they asked the neighbor, was this guy really blind from birth? Was he really blind? And they said, yeah, he was really blind. Then they asked the man himself, and he told him directly, he said, was this you? He said, yeah, this is me. And he explained how Jesus healed him. Then they asked his parents, and they told him, yes, this is our son. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, and he shall speak for himself. They answered that way. Why? Because they didn't want to get thrown out of church. I'm just putting it in my words. They didn't want to get thrown out of the synagogue. They didn't want to get thrown out of church because they answered that way. But that they wouldn't speak up for Jesus who healed their son for fear that the leaders and the church people would throw them out of there, throw them out of church. Man, I'm telling you, if God would have healed my son who would have been blind from birth, maybe I'm wrong, I'd have been shouting the church down. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? I'd have been, what if God heals you? I was talking to Everett Snyder the other day at the funeral, by the way. I mean, whoever it is. His wife's got cancer. She had cancer. She had it pretty bad. She was laying on her couch one day praying. I mean, she's just been sick and laying on her couch one day praying. Everett said the Holy Spirit came down over top of her and healed her instantly. Healed her instantly. And she and Everett told me, she said, you know, Dave, she's not a shouter. She's not a runner. She said she was shouting and running all over that house. And she said from that day to this day, cancer cannot be found in her body. I'm telling you, if God does a miracle in your life, I'm telling you, you would shout the house down. Praise His name. But they didn't want to. They said because they were going to get kicked out. But they didn't want to get kicked out of the church. Now, with all that in mind, Jesus came on the first day of Christmas for this. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, doest thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt both seen him, and his talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye would have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now get this. Jesus came into the world to judge people and to tell people who are wrong that their wrong isn't what verse 39 tells us it is. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might see, and they which see might not be made blind. You're not going to find that on a Christmas card either. You get a Christmas card, a Hallmark card with a star in the sky and down over top of where Jesus laid. You're not going to find that there. You're not going to find it. You listen, but still today, there are a bunch of folks sitting in churches today who think the last thing Jesus would ever do is judge anyone. You know that they don't read their Bibles, and if they do, they're not believing what they're reading. So Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, came into this world to judge the world. I would want to make sure I meet His approval. I'm not meeting Greg's approval. I'm not meeting Ken's approval. I'm not meeting Patty's approval or Alita's approval. I want to make sure that I meet Jesus' approval. And that should be everybody in here. Everybody in here. You don't have to meet my approval. You can come up here and shake my hand all you want to. I'm not going to get you to heaven. I'm telling you, not the church leadership, you don't have to meet their approval. You don't have to meet your family's approval. Because if he's the one doing the judging, I want to meet His approval. John 12:42-46. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest that they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, the problem here is that there's always been those people that kind of want to be a believer, but don't want the world, but don't want the world to live. They want to live in the world as well, is what I'm trying to say. That's the problem. There's always going to be those type of people. They want to know that they don't want to be known as any different from the world. Jesus cried and said this, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me. He that believeth on me, but on him that sent me. Folks, people want to talk about God all the time. I say this all the time. You go out here in a crowd and you can talk to people about God. You bring Jesus into the equation, that's where the problem starts. That's where it starts. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. If you're going to believe in God, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ. You got to believe in him. I'm telling you, I know because I listen to it all the time. I'm at work or wherever I'm at. They want to talk about God. They want to talk about God all the time, Mary. They don't want to talk about Jesus. They want to talk about the one that died on the cross to save you and I. They don't want to do that. I am come. Now listen to verse 46. This is another reason why he came. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. That's another reason why he came. He told them and us today, if we do not believe in him, I'm going to tell you this, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ here this morning, you are in darkness this morning. Whether you want to believe it or not, you are in darkness. How do you know that, preacher? Because the word is being preached, it's being taught, and to you, and it's not getting through for whatever reason. There's a reason. It takes the Spirit dwelling within an individual to understand God's word. If you sit back here sometimes, now listen, I know there's times that there's things I have to really pray about to God to show me. I understand that. We should all understand it. But if you're consistently not understanding the spiritual things of God, you better do a reevaluation to see if the Spirit of God is in there leading and guiding you. You better make sure, because you know what? You cannot understand those things without... Listen, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can ye know them. Because what? They are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. If you can't understand spiritual things, you're in a dark place. Your life is in a dark place. Your soul is in a dark place. You understand that? And your mind is in a dark place. But praise God, that's another reason why Jesus came on that first Christmas. That's another reason why he came. I am come a light into the world. He is the light. Somebody mentioned it earlier. We are that city that's set upon a hill. We are that bright and shining candle that should go out into the whole world. That whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. In John 1:5-9, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came as for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every what man that cometh unto the world. What is the true light? The true light is Jesus Christ. If you're not 1,000% sure that you are saved here this morning, we're going to have an altar call here in a little bit. I don't beg you to walk up here. I beg you to run up here this morning. Get to know Jesus as your Savior. Jesus said unto me, he said, and I will light your way all the way to heaven. All the way to heaven if you come to know him. The last one I want to get into here is Mark 10:35-34. How many of you have heard the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. You've heard it. Listen, whenever Zacchaeus was up in that tree, Jesus told him to come down. Did he not? He said, come down. Why did he tell him to come down? He said, Zacchaeus, I couldn't do nothing for you up there. There's a lot of people in this world that are very proud. And God can't do nothing for them. He wants them to come down. He wants them to get on their knees. He wants them to pray to him, to become humble. And that's what he wants us to do. He told him to come down. Listen, I say this, brothers and sisters, no one can come to him without becoming humble. Amen? You can't do it. You can't do it. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which that was lost. Let me back up and go to Mark 10, 34 and 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. God hears that prayer a lot, by the way. You do what I desire. Amen? God hears that prayer a lot. And he said unto them, what would I that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may set one on my right hand and the other on thy left hand in glory. Well, I wrote this down. I write little notes in there sometimes. You might as well aim high. Right? Let us thought. They didn't ask for a bicycle or a BB gun or anything like that. So let us set on our right hand or on our left hand, Lord. You might as well aim high if you're going to pray like that. You might as well aim high. But that's what they did. You might as well. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what you ask. If you skip down to verse 41, he says this. And when the 10 heard it, they began to become much displeased with James and John. You know why? Because they hadn't thought of it first. And they were mad that they didn't think of it. Now, let's pick up back on verse 42. But Jesus called them to him, and he saith unto them, ye know not what ye are accounted to rule over the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it be among you, but whosoever shall be great among you shall be your ministers, and whoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servants of all. Now this is it. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. That's another thing that he came to this world for in Christmas. He came to be a minister to us and to give us a life, a ransom for many. What can you do to get out of your sinful state? Nothing. Can I say that? No beads, no baptism, no offerings, no good enough. You can't be good enough and you cannot sacrifice enough because God Almighty demands absolute righteousness for anyone to enter into heaven. You get what I'm saying? He demands absolute holiness. He demands absolute purity for us to get into heaven. And there's not a one of us in here that can do that. Not a one of us. We can't live by the law good enough to get to heaven. But listen, he came to be a sacrifice for our sins. Luke 19:10 says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And when you were lost, you were not looking for him, and the world is not looking for him today. He came looking for you. How do I know that? Because in Revelations it tells us this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. Can I tell you something this morning? He is seeking you. He's seeking you. The Holy Spirit is seeking you. He said, I come to be a minister. I come to minister unto you. I come to seek you. I don't want you lost and undone. I come to seek you. Can I tell you this morning, I don't know your hearts here this morning. They get a song. I know we've been here a good little bit, so already I'm going to cut this a little bit short. But can I ask you a question this morning? Is Jesus Christ knocking upon your heart? He come that first Christmas. Can I say this wholeheartedly? Listen, that baby in that manger grew up to die on a cross. He grew up to die on a cross. And I'm telling you, I praise God for Christmas. I love Christmas. I do. I love it. But can I tell you something? Jesus isn't found in the lights. He isn't found in the presents. He isn't found in the Christmas tree. He isn't found in anything. But do you know where He's found? Every individual that's come to know Him as your Savior, that's where He's found. That's where He's found. And He wants to live in your heart this morning. Listen, I stand up here this morning telling you, yeah, I preached the gospel because God called me to preach. But one day I had to be saved. I had to be born again. I had to come the same way everybody has to come. Am I the best preacher in the world? Never. Absolutely not. Don't even think that for a minute. But can I tell you something? I know for a fact that Jesus saved me, and I know for a fact He lives within me right now. And can I tell you, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt He lives within you. He come to minister. He come to judge. He come to do all these things. Sometimes we just lay it out there, well, he just come to do this. He come to seek and to save those which were lost. Do you know that? He come to seek and to save those which were lost. Paul said, you know what? I was the chiefest of sinners. Right? Paul said, I was the chiefest. You may be sitting here this morning thinking to yourself that I am so bad that God can't save me. To show you how much of a sense of humor God's got, He saved this man right here, back whenever I was a teenager, that didn't deserve anything. And not only did He save me, He ended up calling me to preach. You don't think He ain't got a sense of humor? Because He's got one. Because I'll tell you right now, I didn't want to preach. I wanted to come right back here and settle in that back pew and just sit down and not have nobody even look at me. Have nobody even say a word about me. I that's what I wanted. I'm telling you, that's how I felt. That's how I rolled. But you know what? He had other plans. And I want to tell you this morning, He loves you. And He has other plans for you. If you're just willing to give Him your all, give it to Him. Because I'm telling you, He does love you. He does.